I want to welcome Agile XRM to the podcast. I've known the people at Agile XRM for the past 12 years. I've seen how their business process management tool can add massive value to complex organizational processes in sectors such as finance and government. If you have complex processes or a need for dialogues on the Power Platform or Dynamics 365, take a look at how this BPM tool can add value. You can find them at agilexrm.com or check out the show notes for more details. Welcome to the Power 365 show, where I interview staff at Microsoft across the Power Platform and Dynamics 365 technology stack. I hope you'll find this podcast educational and inspire you to do more with this great technology. Now, let's get on with the show. Today's guest is from Germany. He works for Microsoft as a program manager for SAP. He's a co-author of a book around integrating SAP and Microsoft. You can find him on Twitter at HOBRU. Welcome to the show, Holger Berhardt.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me.
How close did I get your last name to correct?
Well, it was close. It's Bruchheld, mm-hmm. But it was pretty close, so that's fine.
Nice. So you're pretty famous, obviously, in the Microsoft circles around the discussion of SAP and Microsoft, and it's really a topic today I'd love to unpack with you.
Well, I don't know about famous, but the integration of SAP and Microsoft is certainly something that I'm very passionate about. I have been working in this area for many, many years, and I definitely see that there's a huge benefit for customers really leveraging both the SAP side and the Microsoft side.
Yeah, totally. Before we get underway, let's just get a bit of background on you. Tell me about where you live, family, and what you enjoy doing in your spare time.
Yeah, great. So I live in Speyer in Germany, so very close actually to the headquarter of SAP here in Germany. I have a beautiful wife. I have three kids and actually a dog now. So I'm all done. Yeah. So that's my personal life basically.
I like it. What do you do when you're not working?
Oh, when I'm not, well, as you just heard, I have three kids and a dog. Yeah. So that more or less explains what I'm doing when I'm not working. Yeah, no, I enjoy playing and working with my kids and obviously also walking my dog and actually listening to podcasts like the one from you. So that's always fascinating.
Nice. Tell us a bit about your role in Microsoft. What do you currently do for Microsoft? What's your remit and what's your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm a program manager at Microsoft for SAP architecture and SAP integration. So I joined Microsoft 5 years ago. Before that, I was actually almost 15 years at SAP, where I started consulting, product management. I actually worked on the first joint product that SAP and Microsoft had at that time, so Duet and Duet Enterprise, which even at that time already looked at the integration of SAP and Microsoft technologies. And I actually think even if we look back, a lot of ideas and concepts that we had at that time to really bring the SAP processes, the SAP business objects into the Microsoft world, at that time mainly focusing on Outlook and SharePoint and stuff like that. But in general, the concepts and ideas are still very much the same. And that's what I'm doing now on the other side. So I used to do this from SAP, so working at SAP. And now at Microsoft, I'm doing more or less the same things, but now from the Microsoft side. So I am working very closely with SAP as our partner to see how we can integrate different technologies from the Microsoft stack to the SAP stack, how we can use some cool technologies on the SAP side and try to integrate them into the Microsoft world. Then I also like to work very much with customers and partners to get their feedback and their ideas and problems and try to, again, solve these problems or, first of all, try to put these problems or ideas into certain buckets and then really work with our engineering team, with SAP's engineering team, to resolve issues and create new solutions, look at new features, and then actually also help this, obviously, get this to market and in the hands of our customers and partners.
Totally. Tell me a bit about the history of the Microsoft SAP relationship. What can you share there?
Oh, it's a very, very long history. So actually, I think sometime early in the 1990s, there was a famous meeting between Bill Gates and Hasso Plattner. So Hasso Plattner is one of the founders of SAP. And mm-hmm. at that time, SAP, they were just evolving from the mainframe area, basically. They had introduced a more client-server-based technology. They were already pretty big, obviously, in the whole enterprise space. And Bill Gates started the first discussion with Hasso Plattner on how can we actually bring an SAP system to a Windows server? How can we use SQL Server as one of the databases for SAP's ERP product? So these were the very, very early days when it was really about infrastructure mainly. So how can we get an SAP system to run on Windows Server, to run and leverage the SQL Server? And this joint collaboration then really continued. So obviously the teams got closer together. We had folks, developers from Microsoft working on the SAP campus and developers from SAP working on the Microsoft campus. So if I look at myself, I'm actually also, well, if there's no pandemic, I'm actually really working also on the SAP campus and really working very closely with SAP colleagues. So there was this initial coming together, and then the areas where we were working together grew and grew and grew. So for example, with Duet, as mentioned before, it was all about how can we get the user experience from an Office user closer to the SAP system? How can we get the SAP system closer to Excel? I think if we now look at the customer base of SAP customers, there's probably not one customer that is not using Excel in some kind of fashion when they work with an SAP system. So it evolved then from the pure infrastructure play with servers and a SQL server to an UI, to an interface integration, basically, to this collaboration in the Office area. And then when the cloud came around, so when we introduced Azure, it was then all of a sudden, obviously, how can we benefit and leverage the cloud technology? So how can we help customers run an SAP system? So the SAP has multiple facets, obviously. There's a SaaS solution, so a software as a service solution. But still, mm-hmm. I would say the majority of customers are still using an on-premise version of the product. So in a lot of customer discussions then, it was, how can we get this on-premise version of your SAP system in the cloud? How can we run it in Azure? What are the benefits of running an SAP system on Azure? How can we support and benefit from some of the platform as a service offerings that Azure provides in the context of SAP? So it really evolved now also to cloud-based integration scenarios. And that's really the fascinating thing from my point of view, that we're not only talking about infrastructure, we're not only talking about platform as a service, we're not only talking about collaborative experience with Microsoft 365, but we're really talking about this from a holistic end-to-end perspective. And that's really what we see with customers, that some customers might only be interested in the infrastructure piece. Other customers might only be interested in getting my SAP data into Microsoft Teams, for example. And yet, other customers are really looking at this from a holistic point, and they're end-to-end with, they have a dual vendor strategy with SAP and Microsoft, and they're really getting all the things that help them run best with SAP and Microsoft. So it's a really fascinating area, I would say.
So my observations have been that we've seen many customers move to Azure as their platform, right, with SAP. But there's a new story that, you know, I know you've been involved in and coming out of the Microsoft business applications part of the business around, you know, low code app development on SAP. In other words, using SAP as the system of record. Companies are not going to move off that in a hurry, but there's, and it might be what you referred to as that, you know, most SAP customers will be heavy users of Excel. What's been the move then to low code, where Power Apps, Power Automate, Power BI have started entering the mix where the back end, you know, system of record is SAP?
So I wanted to keep the best thing for the last thing, basically. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Power Platform, or in general, the whole low code mantra or a story, is currently resonating extremely well with most of our customers. So it's very obvious that there is a huge crisis or shortage of developers. And if you look at, I would say, any company, there is the IT department, there's the development department, and they are able to address a certain amount of scenarios, of feature requests coming from the business, coming from strategic investments, and so on. And obviously, with this shortage, there is a huge demand. How can we address this? Because if I'm running my business and I have certain issues, well, then I can either wait until in 2 years the IT department is finally ready to also address my issue, and not some probably even more important scenarios that need to be developed. But my simple application, my feature request, well, is way down at the end of the queue. So it will take ages to get there. And that's why I think, especially in the context of SAP, we see a huge interest by customers right now to address these problems. And obviously, low code is promising to address these issues so that I, as the business user, I am able now to create my own application, to develop my own automation process, to create my own chatbot, create my own dashboard to visualize the data. And that's where we see obviously a lot of different tools that try to address this challenge. And even if you look at SAP has also some low-code tools. They acquired a company called AppGyver very recently. They have tools like the SAP Process Automation. What we see very, very often is that in a company, the users that have these challenges are not necessarily SAP experts. They are business users. They know how to work with Excel. That's what they've done for years now. They work in Outlook. They work in PowerPoint. And I think that's exactly the sweet spot where we come in with the Power Platform, and where we help the business user to address the challenges that they're facing day in, day out, whether it's a repetitive task, whether it's an application that they somehow used to do in Excel, and now all of a sudden they see, well, Excel might not actually be the best tool for this. It would be much, much better if I have a standalone app that maybe I can also use on my mobile application, or on my mobile phone. So these are the things where I think right now a lot of companies see that Power Platform is a fantastic tool set or a fantastic platform to create new scenarios, to create new applications, to also integrate into the Office suite. And now the only thing missing basically is the connectivity towards the SAP system, because that's my system of record. That's where very critical data is, and I need access to this data. And that's now where this combination of SAP and Power Platform comes in, where we really see a huge interest by customers to help the normal business user, in quotes, to create and address certain challenges while integrating to the SAP system.
Yeah. So that raises three questions for me in my mind as you're talking there. One was, if you're talking to people in IT within the organization, they go, hey, we've got Fiori. We can build it. And then, you know, often ask tell me, what's your backlog like on Fiori? Oh, 2 or 3, 4 years, you know, there's, and so how do you handle that Fiori type question?
That's a fantastic thing. And Fiori is certainly not bad. I actually like the Fiori user experience, especially if you're coming from the old SAP GUI, so the old graphic user interface that SAP had, which was fairly good for a Power user. You knew the transaction codes, you knew to hack and create new scenarios. And then came Fiori. And Fiori is much more beautiful. And actually, SAP has invested a lot of time, money, resources in building thousands, literally thousands of Fiori applications. And if you ask me, if there is a Fiori application that fits a certain business process. So if there's a Fiori application to create a sales order, or let it make it simple, to create a leave request, then go ahead, use the Fiori technologies. The thing is, what we see in companies is that even though there are literally tens of thousands of Fiori applications, in a lot of cases, there are still even much, much more scenarios that I, as the business user in this company, or that I, as another user in another company, where I have a different challenge, which might be slightly different than the out-of-the-box Fiori application, but I still need to address it. Or maybe there's something completely new because this is really unique to my business. And now I have two options. I can either try to get an SAP Fiori developer, which means I need to know about OData, I need to know about HTML, I need to know about JavaScript, which is all fine. And if this is a strategic project and if I have the resources, then perfect. I would say, let's continue to do this with Fiori. Let's use the SAP developer to create these scenarios. But what we actually see, and this is actually coming back to this shortage of developers that I meant before. In a lot of cases, I'm struggling with a certain business task and I don't have the knowledge of HTML. I don't know what JavaScript is, and I don't have access to the developers because they are busy with other things. So now what I can do with the Power Platform, I create my own new application, and I actually can leverage the very same things that Fiori is using under the hood. So looking at OData services to connect to an SAP system. So let's say there's a beautiful sales order creation Fiori application that is already available in my company. And what I would like to do is I would do some small modifications. What I can now do is I can use the technology that is used by Fiori, but now I create a new application using the Power Platform. And I just use the very same OData service that is also used by the Fiori application. And that's for me, this again, I think Fiori is great. It's really a beautiful user interface. It's great to use it. It's working on a mobile device and so on. But it only addresses the experts that know how to create such an application. And that's where the Power Platform comes in. And the beautiful thing in the end is SAP has these portal pages. They call them the Fiori Launchpad, where you then have all these tiles where you have these Fiori applications running. And this can be an entry point, or this is actually an entry point for a lot of customers. You start the Fiori Launchpad and you have all these tiles, which can be Fiori native tiles. But in the same user interface, you can actually integrate a Power App or another Power App or a Power Automate Flow or something like that. So that in the end, for me as the end user, I just go to this Fiori Launchpad and maybe I click the leave request and it comes up as a native Fiori application. But the next thing, the sales order creation process, is maybe a Power App that I or a colleague of mine has created. And I have the same user experience, but I was actually able to create this Power App by myself with limited or no interaction with the SAP folks, with the actual SAP experts that I would have needed to wait for and talk to them and have the discussion. Can I do this? Can I not do this? Do I have time to work with me? I can do this with the Power Platform on my own.
So the second question then relating to that and from the SAP folks would be, what about security? What, we're going to allow people to update, you know, to triage data in another application? Isn't that a massive risk for us? How do you address that?
And I think that's also a really, really good question, because keep in mind, again, your SAP system is your business critical SAP. So this runs your enterprise. So if someone brings down your SAP system, then maybe the whole company is stopping and it costs you millions of dollars potentially. So what we are doing with Power Platform, and that's really, really important, is nothing other than a user would anyways be able to do. So if I don't have access to an SAP system because my user was locked, then I can create the most beautiful Power App, but I will still not be able to connect to the SAP system anymore. Even if I'm an administrator on the Power Platform side, if I don't have the credentials and access to the SAP system, I'm not able to do anything. So what we are always promoting is that you really set up a single sign-on between your Power App and your SAP system. And actually, we have a lot of documentation that really talks about this principle propagation, so that my Azure Active Directory user is propagated to the SAP system. And again, here the same thing. If I don't have access to the SAP system, I will not be able to do anything. If I'm able to create a sales order, or if I'm able to delete a sales order from the SAP GUI or from Fiori, then of course I will also be able to do this in the Power Platform. But we are not introducing a new layer of security or something like that. We are not bypassing the security concepts from an SAP system. So I think that that is when I talk to customers, that is very often the initial pushback from the SAP IT department. But if we sit down and talk about these principles, then I literally had a few customers that where the SAP department completely turned around, where they say, no, Power Platform, we don't want anyone to connect from the Power Platform to our SAP system. This is way too unsecure. This doesn't work. Once we had the discussion, once we talked to them about how are we using single sign-on, how are we using the different SAP connectors that we have, then in a lot of cases, literally, and I had some really amazing discussions there, the SAP IT department completely switched their side and they said, no, this is actually fantastic. Now we can offload some of the requests that we are constantly getting. Can you create this Fiori application for me? Can you create that Fiori application? Can you do this? Can you do that? No, let's offload all this application development to the actual business user. And the only thing that we as the SAP IT department are doing is we are creating you, or we are providing you with the APIs that you can now use to create a sales order, to create some demand planning scenarios, to do some finance transactions or whatever. So this is really, really fascinating to see sometimes that they see all of a sudden the Power Platform as an enabler for them to concentrate on other tasks, because now they're not bothered anymore with here, create this for me, create that for me, but they can really offload all this work to the actual business users that know how to create a Power Platform. So that's something that I find really, really fascinating.
Excellent. It's good. The third question that is common that comes up then is, what is the licensing implication? And I'm not talking about what are the BizApp licenses that are needed. I'm talking about what is the SAP licenses that are needed. And in any way, do we get into a multiplexing scenario when you're building solutions that are touching SAP? Because the fear that I see from SAP customers is, when the SAP licensing man calls and to look at their licensing constructs, are they going to get bitten in the butt, so to speak, from that? So how do you address that?
Yeah. So first of all, SAP has sometimes very specific licensing terms. So if you and since I'm not working for SAP anymore, keep this also in mind. If you really want to be sure, then always talk to your SAP counterpart, your SAP account person, and ask them for around the licensing. That's just as a safe harbor statement from my side. And I would say, since in the Power Platform, we are always promoting to use single sign-on. This means if I'm using a Power Platform application to connect to an SAP system, I already have an SAP user. So all the things that I'm doing with the Power Platform are things that I could also do without the Power Platform. So maybe I need to have a license in the SAP system. Otherwise, I would not be able to use the SAP GUI, or otherwise I would not be able to use SAP Fiori. Now, the only thing that we are doing potentially with the Power Platform is that we are replacing the Fiori user interface with a Power Platform user interface, and then we are connecting with with my very same user to the SAP system. So there is a single sign-on in place, which means if I'm now accessing the SAP system, I access the SAP system with a valid license that I could also use for an SAP Fiori application. And I think if we are sticking to this single sign-on situation, but again, this is my personal opinion, this is not the official SAP statement, I don't actually see an issue in using the Power Platform to connect with your SAP system. So I think from a licensing perspective, everything should be fine.
What about if they want to use Power App portals? And therefore, by saying that, I'm talking about external parties logging into the Power App portal. Let's give you a use case. a contractor working for a company that is running SAP, and they want all costs incurred by the job put in through a portal so they can do it on the app, maybe even timesheets, you know, that by a contractor, they got to put in their labor hours, and then that goes through. And so we build them a nice portal and plug that into SAP. Do you see this, because they're not an authenticated user, right? In this case, they're not an authenticated user in SAP. How would you address that scenario?
So I know that for these kinds of scenarios, SAP has actually dedicated licensing types. So actually, when I was still at SAP, there was a consumption-based SAP gateway license. Not sure if this is still in place, actually, but that was exactly for these kind of scenarios where I have anonymous users. So I don't know. There's not a one-to-one user mapping. But obviously, I want to have this reach, this global reach, where I have potentially thousands or millions of users connecting to my SAP system, retrieving, maybe even updating some kind of information in the SAP system. And for this, obviously, it doesn't work that I have one user license per user. So there was a so-called consumption-based license. And I'm not 100% sure if it's still there, but this would be the way forward for me to address these portal use cases.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. What are you seeing from your side of things when it comes to use cases for using the Power Platform and over, you know, SAP system of record? What are you commonly seeing? Are you seeing more on the app side? Are you seeing more on the Power Automate side or more on the Power BI side? What are the mix of use cases that you are seeing customers take in the various industries?
Let me do this in a phased approach and start with Power BI, because I think for me, honestly, although everything is part of the Power Platform, in a lot of my customer discussions, there's a differentiation between the analytics part, which is Power BI, and then the transactional part, which is then Power Apps, Power Automate, and Power Virtual Agents. So starting with Power BI, I actually see this across the board. So there are so many data analytics specific scenarios that Power BI is just such a natural fit to visualize the data in the SAP system that I could not pinpoint it to one specific scenario, because you have all this data in the SAP system, be it sales data, be it HR, be it some finance data. It doesn't really matter. You just use Power BI to connect to your SAP system, and then you can visualize and really drill down and into the scenario. So it's really hard for me to pinpoint one specific scenario. Now, when it comes to the transactional scenarios, there we obviously see these standard business processes from SAP. So lead to cash, recruit to retire, design to operate, and stuff like that. And across these value chains, we see multiple applications. And again, I think it's the sheer simplicity of how customers or users can create new applications with the Power Platform that there we really see along these different end-to-end standard processes, we see a lot of different applications, be it an opening an account or approval, different approval scenarios, vendor creation workflows, management self-services, if we look at the HR, vacation and relocation scenarios, master data records scenarios, claims management. It's really, this again, such a huge breadth of scenarios that we typically always only see this tip of the iceberg. And there are so many thousands of untouched applications that the business users have, and that's again for me the huge power of the Power Platform, that I'm in my day job I have this one small issue that's not a really big deal, but it annoys me. It costs me like 15 minutes every day. It's by far not big enough to reach out to IT and talk to them, but actually if I create a simple Power Automate flow, I can reduce these 15 minutes to 30 seconds. So and that's probably never an application where Microsoft would create a success story and promote it in the news or whatever. But for me as the business user, reducing these 15 daily minutes to 30 seconds, that's a huge win. And this is just one of these thousands or probably millions of scenarios that we see. And another example is really these simple scenarios with Excel. Again, Excel is probably the number one tool that is used in the context of SAP. Now, instead of doing this in Excel, it's so easy to create a Power App out of an Excel sheet, for example, or to automate processes in Excel sheet. That's another thing where you just continue your journey from doing some shadow IT Excel stuff in a much more controlled Power Platform scenario. So that's another area where I think there are so many small scenarios that provide a huge value when you look at them in a combined way, but that will probably never be an official success story from Microsoft.
Yeah, this is so good. To wrap up, tell us about resources. I know you have an incredible YouTube channel that you've posted a lot of videos on. What are the other resources? And let's use a couple of scenarios. If customers want to educate themselves, if partners want to go, you know what, we've not even talked about to customers about SAP Power Platform type story. And then consultants, how do they get up to speed and start learning around, best practice around connecting to SAP data, best practice around the security models, data models, all that type of thing? Where do you typically steer people?
Yeah. So I think if it's generic or about the Power Platform, we have obviously some fantastic learnings and resources that help customers get started with the Power Platform. And honestly, when it comes to specific SAP and Power Platform, I would actually point them to our YouTube channel, our SAP on Azure YouTube channel, where we have dedicated playlists that really look at SAP and Power Platform, where we really also start from scratch. And so even if you don't have access to an SAP system, for example, we guide you through the process of how can you get access to a trial version of an SAP system? How can you get access to a trial version of the Power Platform? What's probably the best thing to get started to create a simple Power App that connects to an SAP system? How do you do this and integrate in Teams? How do you create a Power App that works with Excel and the SAP system? So there we have a lot of content that help you get started in the very first basic steps, but then also really create some cool, more sophisticated scenarios where we use the AI builder capabilities of Power Platform, where we use the different connectivity types towards the SAP system. So I would probably start with the YouTube channel. From there, we have also several really click-by-click tutorials on GitHub. That are mainly linked from the YouTube channel. So in most of the cases, we have a GitHub repository, but we have a related YouTube video that explains what we are doing in these steps. So again, I would probably guide them to the SAP on Azure YouTube channel. And from there, you find a lot of, there are dedicated playlists for Power Platform and SAP. So that's probably the point where I would start.
Fantastic. We'll make sure we get those in the show notes. Before I let you go, is there anybody else that I should talk to in Microsoft that would have a different story or a different perspective around SAP and Microsoft? Is anyone else worth talking to?
So I would recommend two colleagues, actually. The fantastic thing is at Microsoft, we have a lot of former SAP colleagues that come with a huge background on the SAP side. And one of my favorite colleagues is there, Nathan Weaver. So he's a really fantastic guy that comes from SAP, has a huge background in SAP. And he's more focusing actually on the infrastructure, but also integration stories. And another colleague is Marisol Mantilla. She joined from SAP from an integration perspective. So she came, she did a lot of integration suite stuff, SAP integration suite stuff. And now she's actually in the global black belt team for the Power Platform focusing on SAP. Yep. So she's amazing in the work that she's doing there. And she can probably give you much, much more additional insights on what customers can do with the Power Platform and SAP.
Holger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It was my pleasure, Mark. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Business Application MVP Mark Smith, otherwise known as the NZ365 Guy. If there's a guest you'd like to see on the show from Microsoft, please message me on LinkedIn. If you want to be a supporter of the show, please check out buymeacoffee.com/NZ365 Guy. How will you create on the Power Platform today? Ciao.